You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Psalms 115. I just want to share, you know, a little this morning. It's on my heart. That God really does want to bless you. He does want to increase you. Let's don't get in survival mode. And let's don't get in just maintenance mode. Yeah. You know, maintenance is where you got all this going and you're just trying to get it running like a fine-tuned machine, and that's all well and good, and we should do all we do with excellence. But we don't want to just be maintainers.
That's right.
We want to go forward, amen? First two letters in God's name is go. Amen. I don't know where you are. We're all different places. Maybe you come out of a hurtful situation. Maybe you're in a hurtful situation. Maybe you're in the middle of a battle or crisis right now. Maybe you're just so far down, you're not the bottom of the barrel, you're under the barrel. Well, hey, let's look up. Your redemption draws nigh. There's hope.
Yep.
Amen. There's hope for you. There's hope for me. Jesus came to make a difference. You know, he changed my life completely, totally, absolutely revolutionized my life, brought me out of death into life, out of darkness into light.
Yes.
I mean, I was a loser before I accepted Jesus, lost and undone in every respect. I mean, you could just go down the list of things that I had. You know, the one with the issue of blood in Mark 5, I had all kinds of issues. She had an issue of blood. I had tons of issues. I mean, I was doing drugs and just ungodly, didn't have a high school education, kicked out of high school, and, you know, just lost and most likely to fail, not succeed. I wasn't on the list of the top 10 achievers. Are you kidding? And really, they kicked me out of high school because me. They didn't kick me out because of them. They tried to work with me. God bless those teachers and those, you know, that tried to help me, you know, and I just wouldn't be helped. Would not be helped. Didn't need any help. You know, those that are whole don't need a physician. And so there wasn't anything wrong with me. You been there? Okay. That's why people don't come to Jesus. Because they see already. They don't know they're blind. And Jesus can't make the seeing see. He can only make the blind see. He's not come, you know, to save the healed or to heal the healed. He came to heal the sick. You know, and why in the world would you go to a doctor anyway when you're feeling just great? I thought I'd stop by a doc and tell you how good I'm doing. I mean, you go to the doctor and you should have enough sense to tell him what's wrong with you so he can work on it. But if you don't know there's something wrong with you and you're not admitting something's wrong with you, you're not going to get any help. Those that are whole don't need a physician. That's what's wrong with the world, is most of them think they're okay and they're not okay. And thank God for the day. Not God didn't do it. God wasn't behind your pain. He wasn't behind your problem. But thank God for the day when you realize you are worthless without Him, and you need Him. Now stay with me. We're not worthless no more.
That's right.
Because our value is in Christ. Hallelujah. I've got great value in Him. And as far as He's concerned, well, what does it profit for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? As far as God's concerned, your soul is more important to Him than this whole world. Jesus didn't come down here and die for the chairs.
That's right.
He died for you. Amen. For God so loved, not the dirt, for God so loved the world, people is what it's saying, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For He sent not His Son into the world, condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Wow. He wants to save me. He wants to rescue me. And He wants to rescue me from situations. And He wants to rescue me from myself. And rescue me from my wrong thinking. I mean, your thinking can mess you up. You know that? Really? I mean, what's most the thing that's most messed up in our lives usually is our thinking. That's what's, God's not messed up. We're the ones messed up. And it's the way we think. We think we can't make it. We think we can't be used by God. We think God doesn't love us. We think we can't get over this mess we're in. We can't, you know, we're just surviving. And Jesus didn't come for you to just survive.
That's right.
He came to make something out of you and something out of me, hallelujah, that you could never, ever be before. You know, I was reading a book the other day, and this was an interesting thought. You know, Sam Walton I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. Stay with me. We're talking about God's Word, trusting God and believing God. Now, that will cause you to think more positively and talk more positively, but just positive confession, just positive thinking is not going to do it. That's just a start. That just directs you toward Him. If you don't get to Him, it doesn't matter what you think.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But I thought this was interesting. Sam Walton, of course, started Walmart. He said he heard for years and years, and the thing he heard over and over and over is that you could never, ever have a successful dry goods store in a town of less than 50,000. And he said, you know, I just didn't believe that. And he changed his thinking and changed his life, changed his outcome. Of course, you've got Walmarts everywhere. I mean, Walmart is not exclusive to towns of 50,000 people. How many of you know that? And I think they've done pretty well, business-wise. I know Melissa knows about it. It works on you. They've done pretty well. But he just didn't have that mentality unsuccessful, just surviving, this is all we got. You can pick it up in churches. Churches can pick up that kind of thinking. We don't have that kind of thinking. But some churches in small towns say, well, you know, we're just a quaint little town. We're just a sweet little town. We're just a little country town. We're just a little country church, a bunch of little country people. And we can't do that because we're just a little old town. And we're just a little old church in a little old town. Well, listen, thank God for Will's point. But what the church does and doesn't do has nothing to do with the size of a town. It has to do with the faith of the people. Oh, we could never do that because we couldn't do a hallelujah night because we're just in a little old town. Oh, we could never do this. We couldn't give $100,000 to missions. Have you lost your mind? Television? You can't get on television. Are you crazy? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do whatever God says you can do.
That's right.
Amen. The only thing that limits us is our thinking.
Yes.
What limits us is our vision or lack thereof. We don't need to be limited in our thinking as individuals and even as church, as a family, as a marriage, as a business, or whatever the case may be. God does not want you to lose your business. God does not want you to lose your marriage. God does not want you to go under. God wants you to grow, increase, and prosper. That's God's will. Now, whether that happens or not is up to us, and whether we obey God, follow His principles, hello,
yes,
pray about things. But there's no question what God's will is. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus said that. Man, if we can't believe Him, we're in trouble. So I got good news. You can make it. You can come out of the mess you're in. You can rise above it. You can come out of it. You can win. You can win. And it's God's will that you win. Aren't we going to go through struggles? Well, sure we are. We're going to have battles. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have challenges. But praise God, we can win these challenges. We were born to overcome.
Amen.
Scripture says in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
Goes on down 4, 5, 6 verses there. It says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And he repeats himself and says, who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ. Man, ever since I started believing in Jesus, I've become an overcomer. We got a class every week called Overcomers for people that have, you know, addictions, whatever they may be, whether drug, alcohol, whether codependency, whatever, you can overcome. That's the whole premise of it, is that you can overcome. Through Christ, you can make it. Through Christ, you can win. Yes. Through Christ, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Yes.
Even Paul, where he said that, y'all still have your place there?
Yes.
On 150. Just hold on, I'm getting there. See, this is the way I do it. I don't have you turn to a lot of scriptures, but I quote a ton of them, so I get it. It's just... Even Paul said this in Philippians 4th chapter. He says, I've learned to abase and abound. I've learned whatever state I am to be content therewith. He wasn't giving up and he wasn't quitting and he wasn't getting in survival mode. He went on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then he goes on, commends the Philippians for their giving and their gifts. And he says in the 19th verse, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What he was saying is, no matter what's going on, I'm going to be fine. I'm content. I'm not rattled. I'm not frazzled. I'm not losing my hair. I'm not pulling it out. Maybe you should say it that way. Maybe losing hair, but not pulling it out. Not pulling my hair out. I'm not losing my cool. I'm gelling like a melon. I'm content. Why? Because I know my God shall supply.
Yes.
Come on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This will pass. I'll get through this. He wasn't saying I'm going to lay down here and die and I'm happy about it. Even there, if you take the context of it, he's talking about just trust God, you'll be fine. Be content.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what state I'm in, whether Louisiana, Texas, or Oklahoma, or Arkansas. That's not really true. You can't beat Texas. But anyway, now if you're listening to this CD or watching this, God bless you if you're in another state. We're praying for you. So even there, he wasn't a giving up attitude. He wasn't giving up in any sense of the word. In fact, the whole context was that you need to look to God. God's going to meet your need. Amen? And I know I can get through this, and you can too. Amen? Through Christ who strengthens you, you can make it.
Yes.
God wants you to make it. You're born to overcome. You're born again to overcome. Hallelujah. So Psalms 115. Turn there with me, if you will. I just love it. Love the word, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Notice this in Psalms 115, verse 12. Real familiar scripture. Many of us know this, read this many times. The Lord has been mindful of us. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He will bless us. Man, wow. You know, I don't know about the government. I just don't know. They don't know either. But I know the Lord has been mindful of me. And He will bless me. I don't know what all they're going to do in this country. I have no idea. You know, I go down there and I vote and I pray for our leaders. And you get up every day and you trust God. That's what you do. You get up every day and you trust God. But I know the Lord's been mindful of me. I know the Lord's got a plan. Amen? He's got a plan that works. He's got a plan that's not bankrupt. He's got a plan that doesn't bankrupt me. He's got a plan that is eternal. It's always worked, always will work. And He will bless me. He will bless me.
Yes.
He said He would. That's His will. That's what His desire is. It's not just something I can attain or go for. It's not just something I selfishly achieve or pursue. In fact, I shouldn't be selfish about it. I should do it because God wants me to be blessed. I should get healed because God wants me to be healed. I should get saved because God wants me to be saved. That's His will. I should come to Him and pray in a time of need and let Him meet my need because He wants to meet my need.
Yes.
See, we spend so much time with motives and analyzing this and analyzing that, and we get paralysis of analysis. You know, we got a situation comes up in our life, and the Bible says this, pray about this, and then we start thinking the devil comes and he says, well, now you're just being greedy if you'll ask God. There are people starving all over the world, and here you are asking Him about a toenail that you hurt. As if God is very, very, he's got a limited amount of power, and if He were to help you with this, He couldn't help that starving child over in Ethiopia. Or you broke your finger, and there's somebody over here that doesn't have a leg. I'm not saying to be funny, I'm just saying that's the kind of way our mind works, and the devil will work on us and say, well, there's so many people who have so many more needs than I do. Well, don't you think there are people that need to go to heaven more than you need to go to heaven? I mean, there are people that are in a whole lot worse shape than you were when you got saved. Why did you get saved? You should have just stepped back and let somebody else get saved. As if God only had so much salvation to pass around. Are you out there? And I'm asking God to help me with this, and there's people that don't even have a house. I'm asking Him to help my house payment. There's people that don't even have a house. I don't even think I'll ask Him for that. It wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be right. Well, wait a minute. He's the one that told you to ask Him. He's the one that told you to call on Him. He's the one that said that whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. He's the one that said in Matthew 21:22, all things that you ask in prayer, believe and you shall receive. Jesus said that. Jesus is the one that said in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive, and everyone that seeketh, find, and everyone that knocketh, the door shall be open unto them. Jesus said that. Now, maybe your motives are wrong and maybe they're not. I don't know. Maybe they're good, maybe they're bad. But the fact is, God does want to help you. He wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to bless you. He really does want to. He's been mindful of you and He wants to bless you.
Amen.
Can that be abused? Well, of course it can. Anything can be abused. But it doesn't change the fact that God loves us and He's for us and He's on our side and His will is. that we progress, that we grow, that we increase. Just helping you. If your motive's wrong, repent. But let's don't throw out the promise. Amen. 12th verse says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those that fear the Lord, both small and great. You say, well, I'm not the house of Aaron. I'm not Israel. Well, do you fear the Lord?
That's right.
That's me. I fear the Lord, so He'll bless me. Amen. 14th verse, may the Lord give you increase. More and more.
Yeah.
Well, maybe God's just taking all your money away for a reason. Maybe He's burning your house down to teach you character, build character inside of you. Maybe He doesn't want you to have a job. Maybe He doesn't want you to prosper. Well, wait a minute, where does that come from? I mean, where does that scripture that say that's God's will? This is God's will. His will is that He blesses you. Maybe God wants you to go to hell, doesn't want you to go to heaven. Now, wouldn't that be crazy for me to say that?
Yes.
To stand up in church and say, I'm going to give an invitation here. I would like for you to come down here, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But you have to keep in mind there may be some of you that God does not want in heaven. Now, I don't know if you're it or not, but we'll give it a shot. We'll pull the lever. Hope it comes up triple nickels. We're going to shoot one up there, and you never know, something might happen. But it could be that God may not save you, because you never know what the Lord is going to do. we'll quote Scripture completely out of context. Yeah, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are past finding out. Quoting Isaiah 55 is what they're quoting there, about the wicked and the unrighteous and evil people. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, wicked, unrighteous, and evil. Return to me and I'll abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven and watereth the earth, that it may give, bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In other words, this is my will and this is my ways. Just like the rain comes down and causes increase, and the snow comes down and returns not thither, but waters the earth and causes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be. This is my will, that you prosper.
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
This is my will. This is my ways. My ways are ways to help and bless. My ways are ways to heal. My thoughts are to bless you. I know the thoughts I have toward you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you expected end. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us. God's thoughts toward us are good thoughts. They're not unrighteous thoughts. They're not wicked thoughts. My ways are not your ways, O wicked, unrighteous man. Repent, come to me, and find out what my ways are. They're good. I don't know why He loves us. He does. Actually, really, I think of some people and I think, there's no way. God does not love them. But He does. No, I mean, I think of people and I think, if I had anything to do with this, they would not be blessed. I would not bless them. But God's thinking of ways to bless them.
Amen.
He's thinking of ways. If they'll get right, if they'll repent, they'll come to Him. He really does want to bless them.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with people? They just need Jesus. That's all.
That's right.
Those people you cannot stand are obnoxious. They just need to get saved. That's all.
Yes.
They just need to get right with God. I mean, if you'd have seen me before I got saved, oh, no. No, 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 no. You would, if God had shown you me before I got saved, I often think about that. I had this afro, and it was natural. I never did perm my hair. I mean, it just did that. Back in the day when that was cool. Believe me, I was cool. I had this headband. I used to wrap it around my head and tie it in the back. My hair would go down to that headband and go, phew. Man, I was doubly cool. I had the bell head look going, I had the bell bottoms. Had the bell head. I was cool. But can you imagine if God just gave you a vision and says, there's your pastor. You rebuke that in Jesus' name. You lying devil, no you don't. But see, God saw something in me that I didn't see, you didn't see. I didn't see it either. He saw something in me I didn't see. He wanted to do something with me. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to bless me. But I had to get saved. I had to come to Jesus to do that. And when I did come to Jesus, he began to work on me. He began to change me.
Amen.
Change my thinking. Change the way I did things, the way I talked, the way I acted. And all of a sudden, I started living for others instead of myself. Wow. I started thinking about how I could be used to help others instead of just myself. And he changed me. He called me to pastor, called me to teach first, and he called me to pastor. And none of these things I wanted to do. I didn't want to do any of these things, but God wanted to do that. God saw something. See, God wanted to bless me. He really wanted to bless me. And when I accepted Jesus, all of a sudden I became a candidate, very great potential all of a sudden, now that I know Jesus, for him to bless me. And so he began to move me step by step and begin to bless me. All you need is to get right with God. Get in church. Start serving God and open yourself up to God and let him begin to take you to the next level. He has been mindful of you. There's no question about that. And he really does want to bless you. There's no question about that. God, when God, we can have any number of testimonies up. I just happen to be preaching. When God chose me, nobody would have chosen me. Nobody would have chosen me. I wouldn't have chosen me. Are you kidding? I argued with God when he chose me. I told God he was wrong. Oh, come on now. And you may have done the same thing. When God says he wants to do this with you and he wants to use you this, you're going, hey, no, you know, whoa, did you get the wrong house or something? Wrong number, you know. But God knows better than we do. God sees more than we see.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. And he really does want to bless us. Amen. Notice this. So he says this, the 14th verse. May the Lord give you increase. More and more. More and more. More and more. More and more. That's why you don't ever want to get satisfied. Now look, I'm content, but I'm not satisfied. I've done all I can do. I've got peace where I am. I don't have to wait for another accomplishment, another ministry, more people to have peace. I got peace right now. I learn whatever state I am to be content therewith. That's what Paul's saying. But I'm not satisfied that I've done everything I can do, that we've accomplished all we can accomplish, that we've reached all we can reach, that we've, at International Outreach Church, has done all. Oh, are you kidding? There's so many things we hadn't scratched the surface yet of what God has in store for us. And if Jesus tarries, we're going to expand, we're going to increase, we're going to reach out more, we're going to do more ministry, we're going to take on more legs and arms.
Amen.
Yes. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because growth causes increase. He says, may the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Wow. I believe it. How about you? I believe that God's will is to bless us. It is. Now that can be abused. I understand that. But it is his will to save you, to heal you, to work on you, to use you, and cause you to be a blessing. He really wants to make a blessing out of you. Here I was in a situation where I was a detriment to society. I was a problem, not an answer. I was a burden, not a help. I wasn't adding in any sense of the word. I wasn't even neutral. I was subtracting from the whole before I accepted Jesus. My life was not helping anybody, me or anybody else. It was hurting in that sense. I mean, you know, I had jails and all those things, and my language and the way I lived and all those. I wasn't blessing suffering, sighing, dying humanity. I was cursing those that were blessed. I was hurting those that were okay. So, but God turned the whole thing around and made a blessing out of me. He blessed me to be a blessing. He increased me to increase others. Amen. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. That is his will. So you got to get out of the mess you're in if you're going to help somebody else get out of the mess they're in. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. So let God bless you.
That's right.
Let God increase you.
Amen.
Don't stay where you are. Whatever you do, don't stay where you are. Whatever you do, let's go a little further. Let's raise the bar, as it were. That's something we're always thinking about and praying about and talking about here at the church is what else we can do. What other areas we can get into.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited about things that are coming up. I'm excited about, we're talking about Hallelujah Night. Goodness gracious, Jonathan wants to do a youth concert the same night we're doing Hallelujah Night out here on the grounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Liz has got brothers in a youth band. They put a CD out and going. So we're talking about, how to do that. And I'm thinking in my mind, you got to be kidding. It's too big already.
Yeah.
No, really, that's how your mind goes. You go, we can't do that. Where are we?
Well,
they're coming anyway. They're coming. They're so, they've already got it figured out in their mind that God can do anything. And they're just trying to convince me that God can do anything. And so they're booked already. They're performing all the way down through here. And they've got that night off, and they're going to be in Wills Point that night.
Hallelujah.
Well, they said, we play or it doesn't matter. We're going to be there. We're coming. But we're going to set up a band, and we're going to, And it's something we have talked about over the years, but it's another level. It's taking it because we minister all these kids. Well, what about the youth? And so I'm thinking, hey, how many more people would that take to where are we going to put them? We only have 45 acres. But we don't have the electricity. Oh, we just built a gymnasium. We got a lot of electricity. And so I'm just running out of excuses. In my mind, because we do. We don't like change. If change is comfortable, it's not change.
Yeah.
Now think about it. It is not change if it's comfortable.
Right. That's right.
If it's comfortable, it's not change at all. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We're just all happy and just going through life and never trying to do anything more than we're doing. God forbid we get that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that came up, but anyway, that's what we're praying about too. Hey. Dare I say, we're praying about a food bank also. Differently, open it up and really screening people and praying with them and praying for them to be saved and praying with a prayer request and then having a form they fill out and everything and come in very organized. In fact, we went and viewed a food bank the other day up in Durant, Oklahoma, and just praying about that. I mean, Bobby, where's Bob? Bobby and Ted, where's Ted? Ted's on the camera. And Brent and I went up to Durant, Oklahoma, and looked at a food bank that's operating 7 days a week and ministering to over 7,000 people in a month. Wow. Now, it's a little bigger city, but you know what? There's people that have needs here. And there's people, and we do it in an organized way, not just open up some, bin and say, hey, here's get you a can of something, get out of here. No, we're going to pray with them. We're going to get, we want to minister to them. And then after that, let them get that and put restrictions on how often they can come and work with them on how to get a job and work with them with some computer skills. And Vern's going to teach them how to use coupons to shop with.
Amen.
I'm going to teach them how to shoot a bow and kill a pig. No, but we're going to do more than just food. We want to help them get successful in their lives and progress and get self-sufficient and those kinds of things. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not do that? I mean, this is Ted, been on his heart. And Bobby says, man, that's been on my heart. And as soon as I said it the other night, Dale and Cheryl said, we've been wanting to talk to you about a food bank.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's like it's been on people's heart to do this. And we've thought about it, but, God has to raise people up. And, of course, Ted had a passion for that, and we just thank God for that. Hallelujah. Increase.
Yes.
Blessing.
Yes.
But the point is to help others.
That's right.
See, don't mistake what I'm saying here. Prosperity, yes, with a purpose. With a purpose. God does want to prosper. Are you kidding? If we didn't believe in prosperity, we couldn't give $100,000 a year. If we didn't believe in prosperity, we wouldn't have given $1 million in the last 10 years. If we didn't believe in prosperity, we couldn't put on Hallelujah Night free for the whole community and have 3,000 and 4,000 people show up and not charge them anything. And bless them on a night traditionally, which is celebrating evil. We've turned it around and made it a night where we celebrate Jesus. And these kids hear about the Lord and they get tracts. Are you with me? And every booth's about Jesus. If we didn't believe in prosperity, we wouldn't have done that. We couldn't have done that.
Yes.
So, you mean y'all believe in prosperity down at that church? You had better believe it.
Yeah. That's right.
We believe very strongly in prosperity with a purpose.
Yeah.
Are you with me? If we didn't believe in prosperity, we wouldn't have a television channel here in Wills Point, Edgewood, 24 hours a day, showing on cable. If we didn't believe that God wanted to bless us, we would have never ventured out in many of these areas that I've just mentioned. We couldn't have done it. Wouldn't be sitting on 45 acres paid for. Wouldn't be building a brand new Family Life Center, gymnasium, gymnatorium, sanctinasium, whatever you want to call it. Paying cash as we go. If we didn't believe in prosperity, we wouldn't be doing that. And you know what? We wouldn't be having much of an effect on the community either. We're about empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. It is about power, but it's being empowered with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. Woo! Hallelujah. My. So, God wants to bless us. God wants to increase us. And turn to John 10. I've quoted it and gone all around it. Let's turn and look at it. John 10th chapter. This helping you? See, you need to expand your vision. You need to expand your capacity to believe. You need to reach out. There's more we can do. Don't get satisfied. Don't get complacent. God really wants to move in our lives. He really does. When you start talking about Him and His strength, His goodness, His provision, His supply, His protection, we hear all about the government, we hear all about the economy, we hear all about every reason in the world why we can't do what we should be doing. Why don't we start talking about how good God is and big God is and how great God is and how God's in us and greater is He that's in us than He's in the world.
Amen.
Why don't we start talking about how God, my God, supplies all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing.
Amen.
He daily loads us with His benefits. He delights in our prosperity.
Amen.
Let's talk about Him. Amen. He hadn't changed. He's still the same yesterday and today forever. He not only forgives our iniquities, He not only heals our diseases, but He redeems our life from destruction, and He crowns us with tender mercies and loving kindness.
Yes.
Satisfies our mouth with good things. Though our youth is renewed like the eagles.
Yes.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, and He has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so high and great is His mercy toward him that fear Him.
Amen.
That's our God.
Yes.
Amen. That's who we're trusting. That's the strength and the power and the might we're going in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, God before us, who can be against us? Amen. Well, Jesus said this. I want to stir you. I want to stir you to the very core of your being. I want to stir you down in your spirit. You need to shake yourself. You're not defeated. You're not a loser. You're not a nobody. You're somebody in Christ Jesus. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you are a new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
Amen.
If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, then you're more than a conqueror through Him. You have the victory through Christ, and He always causes you to triumph in Christ.
Yes.
If you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world.
Amen.
You were not born to be overcome by economies, to be overcome by depression, mood, sickness, and disease. You were born of God to overcome the world.
Amen.
Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Yes.
Luke 10:19, Jesus said that. James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Amen. That's right.
Woo. We got battles, sure, we have challenges. I understand that. This world is a broken, fallen world. There are crises and tragedies that happen. But we can rise up out of the ashes. We can rise up out of the pain. We can rise up out of the dust and walk again. We can.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm living proof. I have some moral authority with this message. I am living proof to what God can do with someone who had no hope. I can say this with conviction. I can say it with authority.
Yes.
And I believe it's Terry Myers says, the man with a testimony will trump the man with a theory any day of the week.
Yes.
I'm not giving you theory. I'm not giving you abstract thinking here. I'm not giving you a concept or a principle that has not been proven in my life. I'm telling you this works. I'm living here. I'm a message here.
Yes.
I'm not just preaching you a message. I am a message.
Yes.
And many of you are messages. You're not just preaching it, you are a message.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's good.
Okay, John 10 chapter. Let's close this out. Man, oh man, this is good stuff.
Amen.
I am so glad the Lord led me in this direction.
Amen.
Would you like to know when I got this message? No, I didn't get it this morning. That was another one. I got this one right after Renegade That Tongue. Interpretation. Now, most people, when they said this is off the top of my head, are just, you better look out, Dandridge is coming. Nothing but Dandridge, usually. But really, when she's, God just, like that, it came to me that I need to minister along these. And I don't know where it was going to go. I just knew where I should start. Now, don't go out and try to do that. I mean, I study all the time. Sometimes I write pages of notes just studying, reading and thinking and meditating. I had 3 or 4 great messages I was going to preach this morning that I was eliminating one by one by one. So it wasn't like I'm pulling out of nowhere. I mean, I'm preaching out of the overflow. I'm preaching out of what's in me. You know, I've been saved a long time. I've been pastoring for 27 years, and I've been preaching for over 30, so stay with me. It's not like someone could just, I'm going to do that if you've never preached. So don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm not studious. I'm very studious. I studied until late last night. I studied off and on all day yesterday and several days during the week. But when the Holy Ghost speaks, you got to go with the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen?
And you better be prayed up and studied up so the Holy Ghost can use you that way. John 10th chapter. We're going to close this thing out. Is this helping you at all?
Yes.
Okay, I want to stir you. I want to shake you. You can do it. Amen?
Amen.
You can do it. John, the 10th chapter, Jesus speaking. You know this verse. I've quoted it. I want you to look at it. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Everybody say the thief.
Amen.
Okay. What's going on bad in your life, the killing, the stealing, and destroying, is not God. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. God does not come to do that. God's not doing that in your life, and He's not working that in your life. Now, God can turn things around, and you can learn from experiences like that, but God is not putting those things on you, and He's not doing those things to you.
That's right.
It is not God's will. So get that out of your mind. Let's start out right now and get in your mind, God really does want to bless you.
Yes.
If there's a problem, God's not doing that to you. That's not His desire. That's not His will. He wants to bless you and He wants to increase you. We read it over there in the Old Testament. Now we're reading over here in the lips of Jesus. And if you can't believe Jesus, I can't help you. Okay? I mean, what else can I say? If Jesus said it, that should be good enough. Amen? He said the thief comes, it doesn't come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. So when you see those things, you need to understand that is not God. Or else, what was Jesus saying here? I mean, come on, it's pretty plain. And he differentiates him from the devil, what the devil does from what Jesus does. And he says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Now, I know eternally speaking, that's true. But even he wants to bless me even here and make me effective even here. Doesn't mean I won't have challenges and trials and tests, but he wants me to overcome and grow and mature and be a blessing.
Yes.
And increase. Should I read it? Out of the Amplified. Let me amplify my vision here. The Amplified says this, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
Wow.
Man, I like that. Because when it's overflowing, it's more than you can handle.
Yeah.
You know, when David said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I love that because when your cup runs over, it's more than you can handle. It's more than you can hold. You've got to let it go out and bless others. He says in Malachi 3:10, he says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse. There may be meat in my house, prove me out herewith. If I not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You can't even receive it. You got to go help somebody. You got to go bless. See, that's where God wants you. He wants you to where you just so blessed, you got to bless somebody.
Yes.
You got so much love, you got to go love somebody.
Yeah.
Come on now. You got so much energy and strength, you got to go help somebody.
Yeah.
That's the point. He blesses us so we can be a blessing. He gives us life and he gives it to us more abundantly where it overflows. Hallelujah. God's will is to bless us. Amen. God's will is to come out of the mess that we're in. Now, I realize we have to make decisions, and there are times we have to pull back or whatever it is, just temporarily, but let's don't lose the goal or throw away the vision. Let's don't just survive. Let's don't just maintain. Let's increase. Let's progress. That's God's will, because that's God's word.